Je me suis couchée à 21h. Il faisait encore jour. Et quand je me suis réveillée, il était à côté de moi, mort.
Il est mort entre 3h et 6h du matin. Vous n'avez vraiment rien remarqué d'anormal ?
Il était assez soucieux ces temps-ci. Il avait des problèmes à l'usine Coca-Cola.
Quel problème ?
Je ne sais pas, il était assez secret.
Et vous ?
Moi ?
Vous êtes secrète ?
Vous savez, les secrets, c'est pas forcément des choses qu'on cherche à cacher. C'est juste qu'on n'a personne à qui les dire.
Je vous écoute.
Tu joues trop bien. Toi aussi. J'aimerais bien être actrice.
Vraiment ?
Oui. C'est mon rêve.
Tu pourrais.
Tu trouves ?
Oui.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Red Team Movie Podcast, the podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is my co-host, friend, and the person most likely to play paddleball in the backyard by himself, Alex Perkins. Perk, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, and I would actually say you are the person most likely to nail that intro first time.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you. Yeah, no, Did you also think it was weird? Maybe this is like a European thing, but when she pulled the paddle ball, the ball isn't connected to the paddle. It was connected to the thing on the ground, and then it comes back that way. I thought that was kind of neat.
I just assumed that was an olden times thing.
Yeah. I was a fan
of it. But yeah, it was kind of neat. Mm-hmm. I'll agree with you.
Well, welcome back to the podcast, everyone. This is the show where every week Perk and I review a movie that was somehow connected to another movie we watched at some point in time.
Somehow indeed.
We post every Friday on podcast services. If you like our show, be sure to tell your friends about it and come watch the movies with us. We are getting close to the end of our current theme, which is watching movies with female directors and or writers. And this week we watched a little movie called Petite Maman. And Perk, remind me, how did we get to this movie?
Yeah, all right. So we watched Booksmart.
Yeah.
The dad of the... lesbian Caitlin Dever's character. Yep. I don't remember her name. Amy?
Yes.
It's probably Amy.
Amy something. Was one of the two. I don't remember which one was Amy, but we'll go with that.
Amy's dad is played by Will Forte. Will Forte voices a character in the English dub of My Life as a Zucchini, which is an animated movie written by Celine Sciamma, who Celine Sciamma is the writer-director of... Portrait of a Lady on Fire and Petite Maman.
Couldn't be more clear.
So that's how we got there. Yeah, it's like just next door, you know?
Just
like
next
Booksmart,
door.
Petite Maman, they're pretty much the same.
They're all hand in hand. Perk, why don't you intro this movie for us?
Yeah, alright, so Petite Maman is a 2021 joint, written and directed by Celine Sciamma, which is why it falls into our female voices chain here. It's starring some French actors that no one's ever heard of, not in any offensive way, but, the main focus is two twin sisters, and it follows a little girl who's, gone with her parents to clean out her grandmother's old house after she's passed. There's really not much fun trivia except that Celine Sciamma was also the costume designer for this movie.
Oh, so can we talk about that for a second? I was obsessed with the main girl's outfit of the sweater underneath the overalls. 10 out of 10. Looks so cozy and warm. I'm like, this is the outfit of this movie.
It does, in fact, look cozy. All right, so since I drug you into this one, Jacob, I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Dude, I love this movie. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was so well done, so... Like, I think it made me feel what it wanted me to feel at all times, and I think it was really effective with that. Like, it felt melancholic, it felt very real, like it felt very joyful. And you know, the twist, can't believe I didn't see it coming.
Like, did you really not?
My brain was just like, okay, so when they meet, she's like, my name's Nellie. It's like, oh, that's my grandma's name. And she's like, oh, my name's Marion. I'm like, oh, that's her mom's name. How fun. And like, and then like, oh, that's kind of a funny coincidence. And then like, she has like the hut with the four trees where I'm like, oh yeah, that just shows like it was a good hut location. Of course, another kid would pick the same location as her mom. And then like the houses being the same, I'm like, well, you know, I don't know how it is in France, but like in my neighborhood back home, similar like houses in the same neighborhood have the same floor plan. So like maybe in France, a lot of houses have the same floor plan. And when she finally said, I'm like, I'm a fucking idiot. Like, how did I not put this together faster? But it worked so well. And it's just, man, what a just great movie. I absolutely loved it.
Jacob, the title translates to Little Mom.
Yeah, I know. You know, I just, the signs are all there, Pergun. I just didn't see them.
So, I'm going to be a little dramatic. Mm-hmm. I have, like, very little to say about this movie because mm-hmm. I think it's perfect. This is probably one of my favorite movies ever, question mark? Mm-hmm. I love this movie top to bottom. It's just amazing. Unfortunately, I did have the twist. I was tipped off to it.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, it still works for me 100%.
When do you think Nellie realized it? Was it when she went to say she'd use the bathroom and then looked around and then left right away? When she got kind of startled?
Yeah, I would say it was probably then. Because, I mean, before that, you could write it off as coincidence. But then when she looked in and saw her grandmother sleeping there, she probably, at that point, she's like, oh dear, what's happening?
Yeah, got it. Yeah, there are so many clues, man. Like, because the grandma has the cane. Like, I just didn't put shit together, man. And then when she's like, "I have a secret. You have to tell you, and you have to believe me, and it's also your secret." I'm like, "Oh, she's gonna tell her like, you know, I'm your grandma's name, but you're my mom's name. Isn't that fun? Like, we both have the secret of like having someone's name." I just completely didn't see it. But I absolutely loved it, and I especially loved in this movie. There's like no music.
I had the same thought.
The only music is when they're on the boat going out to the, in
yes,
the water.
But like just no music near the end. I think that the almost entire lack of a score is super powerful and super well done because it allows an emphasis on the sound design, which I think is great. Mm-hmm. There's such amazing sound design, like almost to the level of, but not quite, ASMR. Where it's like, you know, like leaves rustling and doors creaking. And I just, there are a few scenes where like they come into a building and you hear just like overwhelmingly leaves rustling and they shut the door and it just cuts out. Mm-hmm. And oh, it's just, it's so beautiful. This movie is so well made. It's just so, so well beautifully shot. Crafted. Yes.
You feel like you're there gorgeous. The entire
of course
time.
It's gorgeous. No, and I agree with you.
It's the lack of score along with the super long shots. Mm-hmm. Like, they just refuse to cut away. Like, you are there, and you're experiencing what these characters are feeling. Might be my favorite shot in this entire movie, because it almost made me cry, was right at the beginning when they're leaving the nursing home or whatever. She's like, is it snack time? And mom's like, yeah, and she's eating them. And then we just see, like, her mom, and she feeds her, like, the two or three snacks.
Yeah,
and then she gives her the juice box, and then when she hugs her from behind, I like almost broke out in tears. I'm like, I'm already all in on this movie.
You had mentioned it earlier, but I think you phrased it perfectly. Every moment in this film makes you feel the way that it wants you to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so powerfully emotional in all the perfect ways. Like the whole way through, I was just kind of welling up inside with just like melancholy and beauty and like some sadness and some, you know, closure almost too at the same time. Oh man.
And I want to spend some time on some of the quotes in this movie. I don't normally write down quotes, but I wrote down like four quotes because I think there are some insanely powerful lines in this movie.
It is a very profound film, and 8-year-olds saying some insane quotes.
Dude, Nellie doesn't miss nothing, man. She's paying attention.
She's on it.
The first one I wrote down was when her mom's like trying to get her to go to bed, and she like asks her a question. I remember what the question was, but her mom's like, "You always ask me questions before bed." And Nellie goes, "That's when I see you." And it's just like, "Fuck!" It hits. And then like the mom leaves, and she comes back, you know, because she kind of realizes, you know, what Nellie's trying to say. And then another one I wrote down was when she's talking to her dad about how he doesn't remember the fort at all.
Yeah,
he's like, you really don't remember the fork? She's like, he's like, no, I forgot about it. And Nelly goes, you don't forget. You just don't listen. Don't
listen. Yeah.
Fucking got his ass, dude. Absolutely got him. Great one.
No, yeah, no, I'm sorry to undercut your thunder a little bit, but near the end of the movie when, you know, Nelly's talking to young Marion about, mm-hmm. you know, you're sad a lot, yeah. And she's like, it's not your fault. And she's like, really? And you didn't invent my sadness.
Yep. Yep.
Damn.
I had that one written down too. Absolutely. Yeah. So powerful.
It's just, oh man.
The last one I had was when they're doing the little play and acting. And Marion goes, secrets aren't always something we try to hide. There's just no one to tell them to. And I thought that was such like a powerful, like amazing line kind of about loneliness.
Damn.
And it makes it hit more when Nelly does like tell her later when she figures out what's going on. Yeah, man. Like, because there's not even a ton of dialogue in this movie, you know? Mm-hmm. But when there is, like, it's very purposeful. But it still feels real. It's not like they're trying to go for one-liners all the time. Like, it is feel like very real dialogue.
No, it's super. It's small. It's meditative. But it feels almost as if you're watching a home movie. Like, I think just the girls and, you know, the supporting actors,
mm-hmm.
they just make it feel so real. There are just so many scenes. There's a lot of small things that add up to, like, just making it feel real. Like, the essentially dress-up play acting scene. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, even the super small stuff, like, at one point, Nelly is getting into bed and she like jumps over the foot of the bed and then bounces a couple times on it. It's just like,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that's just like a kid thing. Like, kids just do that stuff. It's so real. It feels literally like torn out of a family video.
Yeah. And it's not even the acting, which is amazing, but also the casting. Like, the two main girls are twins, which, like, there was one point I'm like, are they actually two different actors, or are they doing some trickery? And now it looks like, hey, they're twins.
Yeah, I was unsure. I was like, is this the same girl? Is she doing both? But
mm-hmm.
yes, they are twins.
But then her mom looks like the young grandma. Like, they did such a good job of kind of showing the family line. And, like, yeah, this all,
for sure.
like, feels so real. I also want to shout out two amazing cuts in this movie. I
know one of them for sure. It's the teleport to tomorrow. The teleport,
dude. Yep. That was incredible. I absolutely love that.
Really well done. Yep.
The other one was when I think Nelly was at Marion's house and she was like sitting at the table looking, and then when it pans out, she's back at with her dad.
Okay.
That was really well done. But yeah, that dude, the teleport one, I could not get over. I'm like, what an incredible way to show what they just talked about. With like no words, like
they literally discussed like teleporting to tomorrow, and then bam, hard cut to tomorrow.
And it's not even her waking up; it's her already at the hut. Like,
yep,
because that's the thing that she wanted to get to. Like, oh my god, so fucking good, dude.
And sorry, I would be remiss not to mention, but this movie is 73 minutes long,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it did not need to be any longer. No. And I really appreciate when a filmmaker can tell a story in the amount of time that the story deserves and not stretch shit out to 3 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, literally last week I told you about I saw, what's the movie called? It's already faded from my memory. 3,000 Years of Longing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is an hour and a half movie that you made 2 hours.
Yep.
This movie is 73 minutes long, and it should be 73 minutes long.
Yep.
And it's just a perfect, like, the perfect amount of time to tell this small, beautiful story.
It's funny, I was on IMDb, and I was curious what the reviews were. And, you know, 93 Metascore, I'm like, yeah, that tracks. And I look at the users, and it's like,
that's up there.
The users is 7.4. I'm like, that feels low.
So I
look around just to see what these people are saying. And most of the ones are like, oh, it was dragging. It was too long. It was boring. What? I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
what movie were you watching? I didn't even finish my drink.
Yes, there are long shots and long cuts in this movie, but it's like barely over an hour, and it couldn't hold your attention. Like, I was glued to the screen the entire time because you just like want to see all of Nelly's reactions of what she's doing. And oh my god, I don't believe these people, Perk. I don't believe them.
Yeah. I kind of even imagine, like, this is me being pretentious. Like, preface, I'm being pretentious, but I'd imagine a lot of the negative reviews were like, this movie's not even in English.
Dude, no, one person was like, it's not like that I don't like foreign films. List like three foreign films are in my top five all time, but this movie, blah, blah. I'm just like, get the fuck out of here with this shit. Like, I don't need to hear it.
When you lead with that, I already don't respect your opinion. You're setting yourself off as up like, for failure.
It comes off as, it's obviously not as bad. It comes off as like, I'm not racist. I have a black friend. It's like, okay.
If you add the preface, it's a problem.
Yeah. What did your mom think of this movie?
So she really liked it. I watched this with my mom for all the listeners out there who were curious. And I think I heard her sniffling a couple times, and I think this has got to be something super powerful when you think about it, because, you know, I'm not a mother or a daughter, you know, or a granddaughter, and my mother is all of those things. So... I can imagine this being very powerful for her. And yeah, she loved it. She thought it was really beautiful, really nice little story.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd recommend this movie to pretty much anybody. Like, it's, I think it's just, like you said, it's near perfect, if not a perfect movie.
Yeah, I actually plan on recommending this movie to a lot of people. So.
Yeah, and you can't get mad. It's barely over an hour. It's like,
yeah, it's an hour and 15 minutes. Like, at worst, I wasted a little bit of your time. Like, I'm sorry I kept you from one episode of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, the setup is so similar to Driveways, which we watched recently.
Yeah, no, I didn't even think of that.
Which is a great movie. But, like, the thing that makes this movie even better is that twist. Because it's just not even... The fact that that kind of thing could happen in the world they present is just not even of your mind. Any sort of fantasy or sci-fi, whatever you call it, any sort of that type of twist is even possible. Because it's just a mundane family they're watching. But the fact that that exists, and also they don't treat it like some crazy thing, it's just like, this is what's happening and we're dealing with it. I think it's just, it's so amazing. You don't see, like, that kind of realist... surreal, I don't know what you call it, like realist surrealism. It's it's amazing.
And I think part of it too is, you know, like, this is a scenario where most normal people would freak out and like start losing their minds, but she's eight, you know, like in her mind, like, you know, maybe she wants to be a princess, like that type of, that's stereotypical, but, you know, like, fantasy is still a possibility when you're 8 years old. So she's like, she doesn't overreact and think like, there's no way. She's like, no, yeah, you're my mom. And it's just like, yeah, this
Mary doesn't react to it either. She's like, because she's like, you have to believe me. And she just believes her. And then
they're eight. Yeah. You know, it's like, maybe this could be.
And even little things where she's like, is that the music of the future? Can I listen to it? You know, but it's still chill.
Such a sweet scene, because, she starts listening and then just gets a big old grin, and then they cut away. It's, it's just so nice.
Yeah. I did want to ask you about the end, the very last shot. Do you think Nellie's mom remembers?
I don't. I think it was separate. Okay. It wasn't something that I had considered until you just asked me now, but I think it was, it was removed. I don't think it registers in her memory or anything.
Okay. I don't know. I kind of think she does. Just because the last line is, Nellie doesn't say mom, she says Marion.
She addresses her as Marion, yeah.
And then Marion, her mom says Nellie. And the way that they said those, the line delivery, makes me think, like, in that moment she did remember. Maybe not she didn't remember the whole time, but, like, right when Nellie said Marion, like, she remembered.
No, and you know what? I can believe it, and I think that ambiguity like that is really nice, because it leaves you on a question. But it leaves you on a question, but not disappointed, which is a really hard thing to do, a very tricky terrain to traverse.
I could definitely see some people doing, like, breaking down Petite Maman, trying to figure out the time travel rules, like, on ship, and it's like, this movie's not about that, man. Like, no, it's really... You know, yeah.
That would require anyone to have seen this movie.
That is valid.
I think I heard about this movie on a podcast, and I'm the filmiest film nerd that anyone I know knows. So
I don't know about Luke, though. I always think of Luke when I think of film nerds.
Well, Luke actually, he had asked me if this movie was streaming. So it came up in conversation because he recommended to me Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Mm-hmm.
So he's familiar with Celine Sciamma. So I think he at least has seen or plans to see, or I'm going to tell him to watch it. So.
Yeah, for sure.
But I've told him to watch things in the past and he hasn't done it. So I told him to watch Prisoners by Denis Villeneuve.
Mm. I need to watch that one too. Do you have any recommendations based on this movie?
I do. I super do this time. I actually thought about it. I got one too. Okay, so I have two. And the only reason you're not getting Malala'd is because there's two and I couldn't decide between the two.
Okay.
Number one is A Ghost Story.
I did think about that. I'm like, I wonder if Perk could bring that up just because of how it's shot.
Because, a lot of it is reminiscent. It has a lot of long shots. It's very, a small story. It just follows the remains of a house. And it fully, the vibe reminded me of A Ghost Story 100%.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then on the flip, a different aspect, I think I've probably recommended this movie in regards to something else, but The Florida Project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you brought it up.
Because it's another movie where it's like you see this world through the eyes of a sub-10-year-old child, and you just get to see the wonder through a children's eyes. And I think both of those movies are really, you could definitely find ties if you watched them.
Yeah.
I would heavily recommend both, but I'm not sure either of them are streaming. Because A24 movies are tough like that.
God, they got to make their own or partner with somebody.
I'd pay. I've seen a ton of them, but I would pay for an A24 streaming service. Because it's my only character trait as a person is that I like A24 movies.
I haven't seen it, but I know you have. I don't want to ask you. What about Moonrise Kingdom?
I would say nowhere near.
Okay. The only thing I was thinking of, it's two people in the woods, kind of. At least from what I can tell from the trailers.
Also a great movie, but it's a whole different lane for sure.
Okay. The one I have is Your Name, the anime movie that came out a while ago.
Sure.
Because it also has two characters that are connected but separated by something that's kind of a fantasy thing. I don't want to spoil it, but there was a moment in that movie that made me feel like what happened in this movie, what the twist happened in this movie. So,
gotcha.
That one's now streaming on Crunchyroll. It might be on other stuff too, because it's pretty big. But I would say Your Name. And Driveways. I'll throw in Driveways because
the premise is the same. Yeah, I agree with you, actually. That was a good catch.
Yeah.
Driveways is definitely a good parallel.
Mm-hmm.
Like I probably recommended Florida Project in regard to Driveways.
I think you did, actually, yeah.
I'll have to go back and look through the archives.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that is our review of Petite Maman. Watch this movie.
Yeah, do it.
Everybody watch this movie.
We say to watch every movie, but watch this one, all
watch
right?
This
it's barely even a time commitment.
Mm-hmm. All right, so before we reveal what we're watching next week, it's time for bonus reviews. And Perk got a big old goose egg because he's moving.
Yeah,
this
I got
week.
Nothing. I
that
am
is totally
moving.
Fine.
And I haven't had the time. I had intentions on watching Blonde. I will try to get that done by next week. No guarantees. But yeah, I'll do my best to not have a goose egg next week.
That's all good. So I watched a smattering of things. First thing I'm going to talk about is I noticed they were on Netflix and I'm like, fuck it, I haven't seen it in a while. Rush Hour and Rush Hour 2.
No way.
Rush Hour 3 is also on there. I might have to watch because I've never seen it, but I can't imagine it's that great. But I really like the Rush Hour movies. I think they're super fun. Buddy cop action movies. I will say they weren't as good as I remembered, unfortunately. That being said, the dynamic between Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker is just amazing. I could watch Jackie Chan do stunts and fight scenes all day. He is just the master. If you want cool action plus comedy, it's Jackie Chan. I just can't get over how how good he is. And I need to go back and watch a lot of his old stuff because I haven't seen back when he was in his prime. But my God, the dude is just an absolute master. And then him paired with Chris Tucker, like, they're such a good match because Chris Tucker could literally, it feels like he could improv talk all day. Like, his just, like, riffs and just, like, saying shit in these movies is so fucking funny. They're just the best combo. And, like, I think Rush Hour 1 is better. Like, it has a more cohesive story, and you actually care about the plot. And it's fun, like, getting them to know each other. Rush Hour 2 is fine. I think Rush Hour 2 has better action, but there's less action. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I wish there was a little bit more action scenes in it. And the plot just, like, doesn't matter at all. But I think they're fun as a pairing, you know, because I didn't realize they take place immediately after one another. At the end of Rush Hour 1, they go on vacation to Hong Kong. Rush Hour 2 takes place right when they're in Hong Kong, and they get involved in another case. But yeah, if you want, it's like a fun, actually, turn your brain off and laugh a little bit, I'd recommend them. I think my Lethal Weapon is probably still my number one buddy cop action movie, because it's just so good. But they're fun.
I would probably go with The Other Guys, if that counts.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's almost a different genre.
I was going to say, that's like, yeah, there's less action in The Other Guys. That's more of like a straight-up comedy. Yeah, that's hard. I think I'll still go Lethal Weapon, though, because it's a classic. Absolute classic.
Yeah, good call.
Next thing I wanted to mention is I dropped off of a show. I'm doing my morning show watching to wake up in the morning.
Right.
And I started watching this anime called Bakemonogatari because it was recommended by a streamer that I follow. And I didn't really know anything about it before watching it. And I'm like, I'll just give it a shot off of their recommendation. And the premise is like, the main character is a dude, a high school dude, of course, because it's anime, who used to be a vampire, was cured of his vampirism, and now he basically is helping out other classmates when they have, like, supernatural shit happen to him. And the show's set up in, like, a series of cases, so the first case is, like, 2 episodes, next case is, like, 3 episodes, whatever, each following a different person he's trying to help. And so the first one is about one of his classmates who encountered a crab and then lost, she's weightless now. She still looks the same, but she only weighs, like, 5 pounds, as opposed to what she weighed before. So it's like, okay, that's weird. And then they try to fix it. I'll just spoil the first case because it's kind of like how the gimmick for the show, I guess. But the reason that she lost her weight was because when she encountered this crab, she gave up her kind of traumatic memory so she didn't have to deal with them anymore. But that caused her to, when removing the weight of that from her by removing those memories, caused her to physically lose the weight. Sure. It's like that kind of vibe.
Gotcha.
I stopped watching it for 3 episodes. And
really?
A few reasons. The first one is it's pervy. Like, it's a lot of fan service, and the main character is kind of a perv, you know, looking at boobs and butts and shit. It's also, I'm pretty sure it's a harem anime, which is where the main character is a dude, and then every other character is a girl that's like falls in love with him for some fucking reason, even though he's not that great. Like, the main character is just whatever. But the main thing is that it's just hard to follow. Like, as far as I can tell, people say it's written very well. It's a very well-written show. It's by one of, like, the top writers in Japan. But watching it subtitled, like, it's just really dense. And I often don't know. It's hard to follow conversations. I think there's a lot of wordplay happening in Japanese, but doesn't translate to English. You know?
Sure.
Yeah. And also, there's a lot of, like, two characters will be talking, and then right while they're talking, they'll just, like, flash a frame on the screen of, like, a word to, like, emphasize a point. But it's so fast, and especially I have to also watch for the subtitle. Now I can't just, like, read it directly on the screen. There's, like, flashing kind of, like, almost, like, subliminal shit at you all the time. It's just a lot going on, and maybe it's because I'm watching it early in the morning. It's just I can't follow it. I feel like I'm picking up, like, 75% of what's happening in the show, and I don't like the characters that much. And the mystery of it all isn't super interesting to me. Plus, like, the fan service stuff, it's just not working for me right now. Maybe I'll try it again later, but it just wants to be very, very dense and hard to keep up with. So I dropped it like a bad habit. I'm onto the IT crowd, and that'll be a lot easier of a watch, I think.
Nice.
Last one. Super excited about this because I didn't realize it was dropping until, like, the day it dropped. Hasan Minhaj's new special. on Netflix.
No way. I had no idea.
Came out on Tuesday. The King's Jester.
Okay, okay.
Fucking incredible, dude. Like, if anyone out there is a fan of his show Patriot Act, must watch. Absolutely must watch special. It's, you know, him talking about his life, probably, like, Ben, he's at a Daily Show, like, through Patriot Act. He's just a fantastic storyteller. Still putting the great graphics. I know you always make funny Perk for talking about how well directed his last special was with the graphics behind him. But great use of graphics in this
one.
You're
not wrong.
But he is just like the master of, like, you're laughing your ass off, and then it'll switch to super serious all of a sudden, and he gets like, you know, real about some shit that happened. But then he gets out of it flawlessly. Like, nice. He makes you feel what you want. He wants you to feel, and then we're back to laughing again. Yeah, it's just, it's so good. I love him as a comedian so much and as a performer. Highly, highly recommend it. Check it out. That's another thing that's an hour long. You know, you watch King's Jester, you watch Petit Maman, you're out of there in less than 2.5 hours.
Sure. Yeah, a little 1-2 punch.
You know? Yeah, a little 1-2 punch, you know? It's a great time. But yeah, I haven't watched a lot of comedy lately, so it was nice to kind of do another stand-up special. Yeah. That is all my bonus shoes for this week. Next week, we're going to be watching Nomadland, the Chloe Zhao Oscar. Did it win an Oscar?
It won all sorts of Oscars.
Won all sorts of Oscars. Here's the connection I dug up. So,
all right, let's hear it.
Many moons ago, we watched the movie Seven Psychopaths on this podcast. That movie is directed by Martin McDonagh. He also directed Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which stars Francis McDormand, who is the star of Nomadland. So, you know, we got there. We got there.
Yeah, it's good enough.
And honestly, we probably would have watched Three Billboards on this podcast if we both hadn't already seen it. That movie's absolutely incredible. So I'm always down for more Francis McDormand. And this movie would have been hard to get to anyway, because they've used mostly real people in this, as far as I can understand. So,
which is, yes, something praiseworthy in my opinion.
Yeah, and you've seen it before, Perk, right?
I have. I've seen Nomadland. I look forward to a rewatch. Probably watch this one with my mom as well.
Got to get we'll see. Joanna review every single week.
Yep, I'm sure she'll want to as I'm leaving the nest soon.
So yeah, Nomadland is streaming on Hulu. So if you're able to watch Petit Maman last week, you got to watch Nomadland again this week. So yeah, Nomadland, Hulu. But until next time, thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye-bye.